Before we start the show, I want to thank the thousands of you, the thousands who have read This Book Will Make You Dangerous. Many of you have told me that the book's unique way of exploring fear, confidence, and purpose has had a lasting impact, that it's much easier for you to get clarity and direction about what really matters and what you want to do in this lifetime. It's also amazing to hear that quite a few of you have read it multiple times and even bought copies for friends. So thank you again. Just in case you weren't aware, I created a free companion video course for the book. And in these videos, I walk you through the big takeaways and practices from each chapter. And I even cover some extra stuff that's not included in the book. Information on how to access the course is in newer versions of the book. And if you own an older version of the book and you don't know how to access the course, just hit me up via the contact form at triplanier.com and we'll get you all set up. And one last thing, if you're one of the thousands who have already read the book, please consider leaving an honest review on Amazon so that others can decide if it's right for them. Again, thank you so much for reading This Book Will Make You Dangerous. And now let's start the show.
You are listening to The New Man Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp.
In last week's episode, we learned that being in a serious relationship doesn't mean that you are cut off from what you truly want in life. This week, we continue our discussion with relationship experts Allison and Ravain and learn practical ways to communicate your desires to your woman. Allison gives us tips on how to approach your woman honestly, even if it's sexual attraction and body weight that has become an issue. You can find out more about Allison at AllisonSchwabe.com and email Ravain at RavainBacall@gmail.com.
So a healthy version then of this is like a level of development. A healthy version of development is to learning how to leave that that parent child relationship behind when you're in a intimate.
Yeah.
Learn up.
It's about learning how to be yourself while in relationship, intimate relationship with somebody else. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really my answer to what is differentiation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this isn't just some like ballsy new wave of narcissism. This is actually a new level.
It's a developmental achievement.
Correct. Yeah.
We just want to qualify that. This isn't some guy who's running wild with like, I got to have my own life. This is health.
Yeah. This is about growing up and being two adults in relationship.
Got it. I can just hear some guys out there like needing some kind of justification that just because they wanted it doesn't mean that it was okay. This is a sign of health. That's why I wanted to speak to. What is it? How do we find the healthy model? How do we integrate that?
Getting conscious and aware about what is your shtick? Like, what do you do? What do you do? What are your thoughts? What are your feelings? What are your sort of trigger reactions opposed to your responses in life? Where are you? Getting really aware on where you are at any given moment. I think that's certainly a start, because part of being undifferentiated, another word for that in my book is emotional fusion. You're literally fused, or in Gestalt, we call that confluence. You're just joined. So there is no you. And actually, there's no relationship with other when you're in that place, frankly. So getting the personal work is getting clear with where are you? Mm-hmm. So you know. So instead of reacting to whatever another person does, because your body, your emotional body, isn't sitting in their lap instead of in your own body, you get to actually respond.
And maybe one of the things we could use is knowing the difference between feeling like shit in a relationship, like, oh, I'm in that obligatory state, or am I in that gifting, like, cool, I want to do this. I want to do this with her in that place. If I hear you saying, it's like, you got to build that awareness of knowing when it feels like shit and when it feels good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, what a gift to yourself to be able to look at another person and say, man, my life is already fantastic. It's going to be awesome when I hang with them. Even better. not, they're not going to make me better. I already have what I got going on. I love. And it's like a, and this is, I got my thing. It's great. And I can add this into my life.
So there, it blows away that first assumption that relationship is going to be the source of my happiness. It's going to be the source of my comfort, my fulfillment, my refuge. No, no, no.
No,
you're
no,
saying that I'm going to be in a place of wholeness or somewhat in that place.
Yeah.
And I'm going to bring that to relationship.
Yeah. And so instead of being the sliver of pie and having the other person complete the whole pie to make it a circle, I'm my own circle. This is a whole nother circle. We're actually just have two circles now.
And so the aim of
pies.
The aim of the personal work then is to kind of come back to where you, like, why would I want to do personal work is to have that sense of wholeness. Is that what you're talking about?
That's my view. Yeah.
Okay. Ruby, you got anything?
Yeah. I just want to talk about how to experience differentiation in relationship. And it requires identifying what your feelings, needs, and wants are, and being willing to ask for and communicate about those and get your own needs met and mm-hmm. not rely on the partner to meet your needs.
Mm-hmm.
And learning how to tolerate feeling anxious
mm-hmm.
when your needs are in and wants are in conflict with your partner's needs and wants, you're going to feel anxious, and there might be conflict, and need to learn how to tolerate feeling anxious so you don't buckle and sell yourself out in order to maintain the peace.
Mm-hmm. You said something in there about the communication part too, and brought to mind freedom of expression. The idea that, or maybe you, either of you would want to speak to, what is the idea? What does freedom of expression mean to you in a relationship?
Well, to me, it means being real, being authentic, sharing with my partner what's going on inside of me in relation to her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling so angry at you right now. I'm furious. Or I resent you so much because you're trying to control me, and I resent that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of, it doesn't have to have that charge. Sometimes it will, sometimes it won't, but authentic communication is what I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm.
I totally, totally agree, because what you were saying around asking for what you need, I think that really needs to be defined, as you just did, because I've seen so many people time and again think they're asking for what they need in a nice, clean way, but there's no authenticity there. And they're actually sort of using a backdoor approach. And then it turns into this manipulative power struggle, la, la, la. So what you're saying about being really authentic and clear is a huge piece of that.
And it can be boiled down to as simple as, this is what I feel, and this is what
yeah.
I need, and asking, would you be willing to fill in the blank?
You just read my mind.
For example, I'm feeling really trapped in relationship with you. I need time by myself and with my friends away from you. Can we negotiate how we can each have two nights a week where we're just off from the relationship and, right. and doing our own thing?
And being able to be really clear, I mean, at the ideal situation would be able to be very clear, to be able to separate personhood from behavior. It's not you that's trapping me. When you want me to be at your side, the instant I walk in the door from work until I have to leave for work the next day for 7 days every week of my life, when that happens, when you're asking for that, then I feel trapped.
I feel trapped, and I don't want to be with you.
Right.
And then we lose the connection.
Right.
And so actually, I want a healthy relationship with you. And in order to have that, I need to experience separateness. I can't be at your hip all the time.
Correct.
So let's have a healthy relationship. And that's going to mean that I'm going to need to have mm-hmm. some time by myself. Mm-hmm. I'm going to need to be with my friends. I'm going to need to stay home and read a book when you're going out to hang out with these people that I don't want to be with.
Yes, absolutely.
You guys sound like master communicators here. You know, for guys like me, I mean, what you just said is, you know, I feel this way. I think that's a big difference for most people in how we communicate. I mean, for me, I noticed at times I would communicate my feelings by saying, you're always this, you're always doing this, you're mm-hmm. always that. And it's not about how I felt. There mm-hmm. was real feelings there, but I wasn't a good communicator. So
most
I wouldn't
people
say.
Don't know what they feel when they feel it. actually.
Well, there's that, but there's also then the ability to communicate in a way that isn't sort of non-violent or non-threatening. I mean, maybe you could talk about that as a practice of just like, instead of telling me what's happening, describe how you feel in that moment. Because I mean, that just seems hugely powerful.
I think it's part of the crux of this differentiated work is the ability to know what's going on for each of us at any given moment and be able to communicate that.
What I'm looking for is like a description of the practice. Like,
so you know. Here's what I mean, when I have people in my office, when I have couples in my office and they're just going back and forth with their communication style and it's really not working and there's a lot of you and projecting and all that. Basically what I do is I'll interrupt people and I'll just say, what's going on for you right now? Well, I'm mad because she this and she that. What's happening for you? I'm mad. Cool. So say I'm mad. I'm mad. Okay. So go into a little bit further. Say how you're mad. Well, she, no, say how you're mad. I don't feel like I'm being heard. Cool. Say that. So it's literally sort of breaking it down and teaching. What I do is I break it down and I'm either teaching others or asking myself, what's going on with me? Sure, they're doing this or they're saying that or they're shutting down or being way too fused with me or whatever. Cool. That's happening there. What's happening here inside me? And then start there.
Yeah, I think that's the simplest way to say it is we need to just identify what's happening inside of me. Do I feel mad, sad, glad, scared? We could start with that simple template. It requires just looking inside. What's happening in my body? It's really kind of simple. What's happening in my body? Wow, I feel really fucking pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it might be useful for me to communicate that to my partner. I'm feeling really angry right now. And then I can ask myself, well, what do I need? And it might take a while for me to identify that. You know what? I just need some time away. I'm just going in the other room. I just need a break from you. Okay. So then I can come back and say, you know what? I need to have time alone every week. That's what I need. So let's figure out how that can work for us. Normally what we do is when we feel something, an unwanted feeling, like sad, scared, angry, lonely, whatever, we're in relationship, we want to blame our partner for our unwanted feeling. Like that it seems like they're responsible. They should be making me feel good. And so we attack, blame, criticize. And when people are attacked and blamed and criticized, they shut down, they close up and or defend and attack back. So then you just have a real big fight or just a lot of resentment and animosity and the relationship breaks down. So it's just a lot more effective, a lot more skillful and helpful to stop pointing the finger at our partner and stop making them responsible for my feelings because they're actually not. I need to be responsible for my feelings and just say, I'm feeling scared. Will you hold me? I feel angry. Will you stop yelling at me? I feel trapped. I'm going to take some space now. Things work better.
Yeah. And I would add a couple of things onto that. And that is that if you were to start a conversation that was heated or very personal or potentially vulnerable with the word you, I automatically want to put my shields up. I don't know what's coming. I know that I need to be on the defense though, because all of a sudden I'm on trial. So that's what I want to say about that. The other piece, when you were sort of inserting other statements, what works really well for me is to say, I can't connect with you when you're yelling and screaming at me. You're not saying, you know, oh, you yell and scream all the time. I fucking hate you for that. I literally shut down. When you start yelling and screaming at me, it doesn't work for me. This is what happens for me. I want to connect with you. So when you're ready to not yell or, you know, if you're willing to talk or let's have some space, let's connect after that.
We just spoke about the importance of being aware of our feelings and then being able to express that. What are the things that we can actually do to start practicing this form of communication
so we can have the relationships we really want where we're not trapped.
I guess if I could summarize it, how to differentiate, it's identify what you feel, need, and want. Take care of your needs. Communicate with your partner about what you feel, need, and want. And do what you love. Follow your truth and your passion, whether you're in relationship or not in relationship. And you will be well on your way to differentiation.
I would add to that, I agree with what you're saying. And when it comes to differentiating in relationship, all of those things, it's ironic, all of those things need to happen, I believe, they actually need to happen in relationship. So you telling your best friend how you feel, what you need, and what you want is one thing. Telling your partner how you feel, what you need, and what you want is where you need to go. So to really fully take ownership, really embody your power, embody your freedom, embody your wild self, and show up in the face of your partner and say, here I am, this is what I'm feeling, this is what I'm needing, and this is what I'm wanting. And I'm coming to you to tell you that. I want you to know this about me. So it's not up to them to, you know, complete or fulfill your needs, but it is up to you to show up and state what they are. So I have no problem with my partner coming to me and saying, I need to take a trip with my best friend, or I want to go to this concert and I really want to go with my buddies, or I need to go out drinking, man. I need to go hang out at the strip club. I don't have a problem with that. I really do not, because he's coming to me. He is in relationship with me and telling me to my face what he needs. I celebrate that.
So I'm curious, now that, you know, our listener has a new tool, let's say, what's the pitfall? What does he need to watch out for? There's a part of me, it's like, oh, they get self-righteous or actually lose connection, yeah, or something like this is about me and I'm owning my stuff and you just can't fucking handle it. And then it's, so yeah, speak more to what does our listener need to listen at or look out for?
That's exactly what my little rant was about. You have to be in relationship, in contact.
So help me out there a little bit, because that's still pretty intangible.
It's helpful to know when I'm in reaction and rebellion and making my woman my opponent rather than somebody that I'm on a journey with. In the beginning, as we try to use some of these new skills to try to become differentiated, it's common to kind of be in a reactive place or a rebellion place against our partner.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to just track that, to just watch that and be aware of that natural inclination to be reactive and just notice that and then see if we can come back to it, not from place of reaction, but from a centered place.
So I was wondering, maybe one of you would be willing to kind of model it, even with just the same two sentences, you know? So the first one is reactive and the second one is the healthy version. So we can just kind of like, oh, there it is. I see it now.
Okay.
Would you be willing to do that?
Sure. I'm sick of you owning me. You don't own me. I'm going out. I don't care what you say.
So that's the unhealthy.
That's the unhealthy version.
God, I am
in reaction.
My notes, I got it wrong in my notes.
React versus respond.
So that's reactive. And to just communicate from a centered place in what might be a healthy way is to say, you know what, I'm feeling pretty boxed in and I notice that there's some resentment in me and I need some space. So I really need to go on a hike by myself and just have tonight off and not go out with you tonight. And I want to hear how you feel about that. And let's just communicate.
Cool. So there was I also got in there that you opened the door to discussion. Didn't mean that you were going to necessarily change your mind, but there was a willingness to discuss.
Yeah. My woman might say, well, I feel so alone and I just really need you to be with me tonight. And I might choose to do that. Or I might say, I'm hearing that you're lonely, feeling in pain and sad, and I really need this for myself. So I really need to go on that hike. And you know what? I'll tell you what, it would feel good to me to be with you for about 20 minutes before I before I go out on my hike and just hold you if that would feel good, mm-hmm. connect with you. And I know you can take care of yourself tonight, and I'll see you later on.
Victoria's Secret Fashion Show is on TV. Oh, man, what a hot body. Oh, I would so love to tap that. Holy shit. Oh, my God. Baby, why don't you look like that? Why don't you look into seeing about some implants? That would be the unhealthy version.
Holy crap.
And what's the healthy version?
So, the reason that you haven't been on the receiving end of a lot of my affections randomly is because body type is important to me. And I'm not calling you fat in any way, shape, or form. And it's important to me to be attracted to my partner. And so both of us, I'll do it too. But I think that eating better and exercising needs to happen.
I don't know if that would fly. I'm sorry.
Well,
I cannot envision.
So here's this the is thing. My fear.
Like, I cannot envision that going well.
So especially the part about, I'm not calling you fat, fat.
Yeah, right.
I'm not calling you fat, fat.
So fatty, fat, edit fat. That part out.
No.
And I actually, yes, it is such a heated, hot topic, especially with women. And it is so true. It is so true that attraction is a huge piece, especially for longstanding relationships. I think physical attraction is huge. Sex, all that. And it's important for each partner, each person to be attracted to the other person. Now, it's unrealistic for my partner to want me to look like, well, to expect me to look like a Victoria's Secret model. However, it is realistic for him to say, I'm struggling with my attraction to you when you gain those 20 pounds. I'm struggling with that.
And it would probably be useful for that guy to frame it in the context of how he wants the connection.
Yeah.
I want to feel fully connected and attracted to you.
Yeah.
And I am struggling with it right now.
Yes.
Because there is some extra weight there and I love you so much.
Yes. And that's, you know, he's not leaving. He's not shaming. He's, you know, the girl's got to have, she's going to have her world of insecurity showing up, of course, because that's half of our burden this lifetime. But it is important. I mean, certainly in a marriage too. I mean, that's, you have to be able to talk about that and be really honest. That's a huge need. And that's one of those taboo things like, oh, I'm not going to say anything because that was really unsafe. Or
I could see from a guy's perspective, I'm shallow.
If
that were his truth, you know, he'd be able to deny it. Like, there's something wrong with me, but it still would actually be truthful. Now there can't be any discussion about it because he's going to hide it. Like, what if there's something that could be arrived at between the two of them? Nope, not going to be talked about. So he just.
I think it's important to mention that some guys will hear this show and will go home and try some of these things out. And they'll say, it didn't fucking work.
Yeah.
She blew up at me and we got in this big fight and she doesn't want anything to do with me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
she might feel that way.
Yeah. There's no guaranteed outcomes, but what we're talking about here is living into your truth, being authentic, being real.
I can say from my personal experience though, that coming from this place, bringing it to relationship, it's not going to be a nice, neat conversation in 5 minutes and be cleared up. It may take a week. But one of the outcomes is that she will know where you're coming from. It'll be believable. And she'll trust you more. It may create a lot more havoc. It may create a lot more shit in the short term. But one of the byproducts is like, he's going to tell me if something's not right. And she can actually relax into that. That's my experience of like being willing to walk through that first fire. It's like, it's going to pay off.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we need to be able to hang with that fire.
Mm-hmm.
That I mean, that's really it. Because what you were saying about like, well, this didn't work and she blew up at me and that. Yeah, that's part of like being able to hang in relationship.
Part of real relationship.
That's part of real
relationship. It's not always neat and tidy and peaceful.
Hanging in there when the shit hits the fan, staying.
Well, how about the fact that this is all under the surface? I mean, that's a fire that's been stewing inside of both of the partners. When you get authentic with it, you just let it out. So it's fearful at first, but it's always been there. So it's not something that you I mean, you can't avoid it one way or another. Either you stew with it your whole life or you get it out and start working with it.
Personally, mm-hmm. I trust my husband more than I've ever trusted another man because he's honest with me. Even about the things that are uncomfortable personally for me, he is honest and I can trust him more for that.
So what's healthy differentiation? Why would I want healthy differentiation in my relationship?
Because I get to be me and you get to be you. I get to have a life and you get to have a life. And then we get to create a life together in addition to each of our lives. That's pretty fun and exciting to me.
Sounds good.
Differentiation's good because I get to stay connected to who I am and not cut off parts of myself in order to have things be peaceful with my partner.